You're listening to Amr Vachazer, Daniel Eisenberg, Maseches Pesachim, Daf, so Daf Nun Zayin, Amud Aleph slash Amud Beis. It'll be a short Amud today. It's not as short as it could be, because I think there's still a little bit to go on Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. But we'll be finishing the first chunk of Pesachim. It's interesting. You ever wonder why the Maseches is called Maseches Pesachim? Why is it not called Pesach, like Rosh Hashanah, like Sukkah, right? So most of the Masech HaShavuos, which is not HaShavuos, but that's what it is, yeah. why is this called Pesachim, not Pesach? So it seems that the reason is that if you'll just take a peek over at the next Amud, so when it says the Hadron, it says that like Shalika Pesach Rishon. And yeah, if you fast forward just before Arve Pesachim, so if you take a look, yes, there's actually three parts. I think Arve Pesachim actually might have been originally attached to the first one, but if you look on Tzadi Ches Amud Aleph, so we're gonna have this is gonna be called Pesach Sheni, Sibila Pesach Sheni. Also, there's a long thing over here. This is not Rashi. It's not Tosos. I think it might have been an early Achron who does this, but he has basically the summary of Hilchos Karban Pesach Rishon, and then a summary over here later on Tzadi Ches Amud Aleph of Hilchos Pesach Sheni, which is interesting because we didn't really deal with Pesach Rishon at all. We very minimally discussed anything about Pesach Rishon, but I don't know if it's supposed to be like on a pun because we call the two parts of Pesach Pesach Rishon Pesach Sheni, or because now we're The two of them is what's confusing. Over here, we have like an introduction to Pesach Rishon, and it makes sense, I guess, doing that before we do this next part of Pesachim. But Pesach Sheni is going to follow Halachas of Pesach Sheni. Like, that's like the last parak of the ninth parak, I think, deals with Pesach Sheni. So it's weird. I'm not sure exactly what the point is, but nevertheless, this first part of Pesachim is referred to as Pesach Rishon, and then there's going to be Pesach Sheni and Arve Pesach in the 10th parak, which is primarily about the Seder. I think was really actually originally placed here, was moved off for whatever reason. So that's why when you have Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, so that's why it's Maseches Pesachim. Fine. So, really, tonight we could be making we could make a real siyum, let's see if we have a minion, but really, it is, aside from being like half of this long mesach, so already, but like really, there's like a inherent siyum in this limud, so. Just give us chizuk to make it to the end and be able to retain as much as we can. It's a shame. Okay, so I guess around halfway. Do you have an exact point for us? Tanur Rabban on where?
Second long wider one.
Second long, okay, so two. So we're now just going back to Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, second wide line. Tanur Rabban on Arba Tzvachos Tzocha Azara Azara. There were four cries that the Azara cried out, right? The courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash cried out these four cries. We're going to see that two of them are lamenting cries about certain people who probably should not be Kohanim, Kohanim Gadolim, and then it's going to be lamenting, then the next two cries are lamenting that we don't have two great Kohanim Gadolim. So, Rishonot, the first cry was, Tzu mikan b'nei Eli, shetimo heichal Hashem. Get out of here, the children of Eli who were matame the heichal of Hashem. Right, that's referring to the discussion, right, the story at the beginning of Sefer Shmuel with right, there's Eli Kohen Gadol and his two sons are the ones running the show. And what's explicitly written in the Psukim, there is an opinion of Chazal that interprets it much more favorably, but explicitly, there seems to be really, really horrible averos, right, done with the women who come to bring karbanos. There's an opinion in Chazal, it's a mainstream opinion, I think even quoted by Rashi there in Shmuel, that says it's understood euphemistically, but it means that they delayed the women from returning home to their husbands, and there was definitely a perversion of justice taking place here, and taking larger portions for them for themselves than really was appropriate, and it was a big chilul Hashem. So whether it's the Bnei Eli at their level should have done better, or they were actually awful, whichever one it is, Hashem does not want them to be Kohanim Gedolim. Mm-hmm. And they suffered a pretty bad fate, and Eli is reprimanded greatly for it, for not properly rebuking his sons, even though he does rebuke them after he gets Musa, but clearly not strongly enough. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough as well, Eli is blind, and he goes blind, and the and I forgot if it's Chazal, but it's definitely some of the Rishonim, maybe the Baal Turim, I think, points it out, and I think a little bit later on Sfarno, the connection between Yitzchak going mm-hmm. blind and Eli going blind, and both having to do with turning a blind eye to wicked son or sons. So just a little bit of parsha for you there as well. Okay, so anyway, that's the first cry. V'od Svachan, another one, Sami Kan Yisachar Ish Kfar Bar Kai. The Yisachar Ish Kfar Bar Kai. Okay, so what did this coin do? She Mechabe Is Atzmo Mechale Kodshe Shemayim. Because he honored himself and disgraced the Kodshim of Shemayim. To have a Karich Yodei Besherai, because he would wrap his hand in silk. Right? It sounds like he like wore gloves. Va'avid avoda, and then he did the avoda. Right? Mm-hmm. Now there's a halacha that there cannot be a chatzitza, there can't be an interposition between the hand of the kohen and the different things he's supposed to be holding doing the avoda. And this guy would wear gloves. So I don't know if it's a COVID careful or whatever it is, but it was considered a big disgrace that you're like. What exactly is going on here? That you're honoring yourself over Shmaim? You're thinking like, oh, I don't want to get myself dirty, or I want to look good, whatever it is. I want to look fancy and regal with my gloves or my silk over my hand. But it was a disgrace to Shmaim, and Hashem says, I don't want you to be Kohen Gadol here or serving at all. So that's the second Tzvacha. The Ode. Tzvacha Hazara Su Shar Mershechem Vikansu Yishmal Ben Piache Tamido Shel Pinchas Vishamish Bekahuna Gedola. May the gates rise up, right, raise their heads, and Yishmal Ben Piache should enter, who's the Talmud of Pinchas, and he should serve as in the Kahuna Gedola. So he was clearly somebody that, right, Rashi says, Yishmal Ben Piache Kasher Haya Ava Anche Beso Haya Bal Yisroa. But the people of his household were thugs, as we saw earlier. If you notice, Rashi's trying to deal with the problem. Wait, hold on. It said a little bit earlier when it listed, right, Thursday's Amud, it listed all these Kohanim Gedolim, woe is to these and their families for this, for that. And so Yishmal Ben Piache, I Megrofun from their fists. So, no, he was good. It was just his family wasn't so good. We began back to Cohen turning blind eye to the family. I don't know. Maybe he tried his best. I don't know. But anyway, but he was righteous himself, and he's a Talmud of Pinchas. Was that? I'm not sure if it's Pinchas the Cohen, like Pinchas grandson of Aaron, Pinchas Ben Lazar. I'm not sure if that's the Pinchas it's talking about. Probably not Pinchas, the son of Eli, right, of Chafni and Pinchas, because we're not talking about. But anyway, he's a Talmud of Pinchas, and he should be serving the Kunagola. V'od Tzvacha Azara, and then the second one, right, again, it's similar to this last one, it's like two pairs. Su Shar Mershechem Yikanes Yochan Ben Nirbai Tamido Shel Pinkai. Nice little poem for you there. Yochan Garbai, who's a Talmud of Pinkai, he should enter and be the Kohen Gadol. V'yamale kreso mikodshe shemayim, and he would fill his and it should be he should fill his stomach with the kodshim of shemayim. So he was clearly someone who was righteous. Amro love al Yochan ben Nerbai. They said regarding Yochanan ben Nerbai, shahaya ochel gimel meos agolim. He would eat 300 calves. The shosa gimel meos garbayin, a nice healthy appetite. A grown Jewish boy, right? And he's 300 barrels of wine. Yeah, it's 300 anything of wine. 300 shot glasses of wine is a lot, right? But Okal, our boyim seya goes los, bikinu ak seuda. And he would eat 40 seya of pigeons or small birds as a kinuach suda, as like a dessert. You know, just okay. Amru, kol yamav shel Yochanan ben Nerbai, lo nimtza nosra b'mikdash. All the day, they said, all the days of Yochanan ben Nerbai, they didn't find nosar at all in the mikdash. There were no leftovers, right? The leftovers of korbanos need to be burnt. In all his days, there weren't any leftovers. So,
flattering.
Right, so like, you want something like them. So Rashi's very interesting. Rashi says, what's the Rashi? Shosh me'az agalin. Says this, Shahaya megadol b'beisu kohanim arbe. He had a big family. And maybe not even big family, it could be he also took in many people, that he was a big host. So other mefarshim don't interpret it to be that, because it looks like, in the Gemara it seems to be saying, like, he ate it. It's in his stomach. So he had a very, very, very healthy appetite, or unhealthy. I don't know, but it was it's praise. Or he was a big tzaddik and he took many people in. Okay. So that's what the Torah. Sorry, Hashem would love for him to be Kohen Gadol again. Okay. B'yisachar ish kfar barkai. My salka bay. What went up with him? What ended up happening? B'yisachar ish kfar barkai. Right, Mr. Gloves. Omri Malka Sahavu Yasve Malka Yasve. So they said that the king and the queen were sitting. Rashi says Malke Beis Chashmonai, the king and queen of the Chashmonai. Right. Oh, here we go. Here's a nice Hanukkah shout out with the Shloshim Yom Kodem Chag. With already the light of Hanukkah starting to shine. We're in Kislev, so we have a shout out to the Beis Chashmonai, the Hasmonean dynasty. Who are the king and queen? I don't remember if there are any mefarshim that say that a particularly famous king and queen duo of the Hasmonean dynasty are Yanai, right? Alexander Janius and his wife, who's known by a few different names. She's Shlomis, Shlomtzion, Queen Salome, sorry. Also Alexandria. That's a term used for her, but it's the same person. Now, so it's likely that it's them. I don't remember if I saw anybody who said that, but because that she's like the you know, there are multiple Hashmonai kings, but the queen that gets a lot of attention is her Yana's wife. She's actually the sister of Shimon ben Shatach, who is, like, he's early in Perkei Avos. He's one of the Zugos, so he's like an early mission in Perkei Avos. And there are some interesting interactions that Shimon ben Shatach and Yana HaMelech had. Okay. Anyway, so they're having a machlokas. What's the king queen's machlokas? Malka Omar Gad Yoyoi, the king, right, Malka with an aleph is a king, said that the Gadya, a goat, is Yoy, is like pleasant, is better. Umalka Samra Imra Yoy, and the queen said no, a lamb is better. Omru Man Mukach Kohen Gadol to come ask the karbanos kol yoma. You know who's the best person to decide for us? Kohen Gadol, because he brings karbanos all day. Presumably Yanai and this Melech and Malka probably also had access to like goats and things like that. But yeah, he's an expert on goats and sheep. So what's better? Also Ihu, he came in a chave be a day. He like signaled with his hands in a like a little bit of a dismissive way. Rashi says Beloshon Tzachok, like almost like laughing and like joking about it. Igad Yoy, he says, listen, if a goat is better, Yasak l'tamida, let him bring it for the Korban Tamid every day. But the Korban Tamid was a keves ha'achad. It's a keves. It's a sheep. It's not a goat. So it must be, the Korban Tamid is indicates which one's better, and a lamb is better. Lamb is better. Amar Malka, so the king says, Ho'il v'lo havele emsa demachusa, since he doesn't have fear of the, right, to fear of the Malchus, Nisakuli Yamine. It's cut off his right arm. Rashi just says, "Lo dayo," right? In Moshe de Malchusa, Malchusa, "Lo dayo shelo amar kamosi." It's not enough that he didn't say like me. Firstly, he should have passed like me. But Ela Shamar af Beloshan Tzachok. But he's also like joking around. He's like very dismissive and pointing with his fingers. He did it to the king. So let him cut off his right hand. Yohav Shochad. So he paid them off. Yisachar. So he paid them off. Upaske lismale, and they cut off his left hand instead. He said, "Do me a favor. Do me a favor. I'll pay you money. Let me my left hand, so at least I can do. I can still, like, you know, write or whatever." Shama Malka, but the king heard, Upaske Amina, and he cut his hand afterwards. Okay. So Amar Rav Yosef, Brich Rachmana, Baruch Hashem, Dashkle Yisachar Ishkvar Barkai, Lemitrafa Seimine, that Hashem paid him back for what he did. Gmulo, says Rashi, that he right Ashkele Hesi Avonu Gmulo Mitrafase Gmulo. He gets paid back exactly what he deserves. Why? Oh, it's Bahai Alma in this world, right? That he didn't have to wait till an Abba before getting this punishment. So what's the Mita Kedeged Mita?
I mean, you didn't want to get your hands dirtied, right? So yeah, you don't get them anymore.
Yeah, no more hands for you, right? If you don't use your hands nicely, you can't use them, right? So that's happened. It's interesting also that we see that he also, Achaveh B'Adeh, he signaled to the king disrespectfully as well. So it's he was disrespectful. Right, yeah. And you know, imagine these words ringing in his mind. Emasa de Malchusa, you know, when he hears those words, you don't have Emasa de Malchusa. You don't have, like, the dread of the king, so therefore you're going to be punished. And, you know, like, in his mind, he's probably, like, maybe he's thinking, like, oh, wow. You know, sometimes Hashem arranges for you to hear certain words, but and it's said in one context, but Hashem wants you to imagine a different context instead. That, right, you did something disrespectful with your hands, disrespectful to the king. Maybe earlier there was something disrespectful you did to the king, the real king with a capital K. So it could be that that's like also like what's going through his head. Anyway, he loses his hands for it. Amar Ravashi, Yisachar Ish Kvar Barkai Lo Tana Masnisan. Yisachar Ish Kvar Barkai did not learn a Mishnah. That's not the Mishnah says. Rav Shimon Omer Kvasim Kodim Le'izim B'chol Makom. Usually when mentioned together, Keves is mentioned before Aves, before goats. B'chol Makom. Yachol B'pnei Shemuvcharin B'minan. Maybe because you think it's a more choice species. Tamal Omer Im Keves Yavi Karbono. It says that if you bring a Keves as its carbon, melamed shneim shakul and ke'echad, shows that they're both equal, right? So, yeah. So and Ravina Amar afilu mikranami lo kara, even a pasuk he didn't read diksiv because pasuk says in keves im eis, if it's a keves or if it's an eis, ibay keves laisi, ibay eis laisi, that there's a choice. In particular, this is regarding a shlamim. Right, so since you can bring a keves, you can bring an ease. There's no particular choice, so clearly they are equal, and so not only was he disrespectful and deserved to lose his hands, but he also didn't know Mishnah and didn't even know a pusik. Hadrin lach malchum shenagu v'slikala pesach rishon. Mazel tov. We'll start off the Mishnah of Tamid Nishrat. Tamid Nishrat Bishmona Mechatza. The Tamid is slaughtered in the eight and a half hours into the day. The Karav Bitisha Mechatza, and it's brought in the ninth hour of the day. Barve Psachim Nishrat Bisheva Mechatza, the Karav Bishmona Mechatza. And Arav Pesach, it's brought a little bit earlier, the seventh hour and 7.5 hours into the day, and it's brought eight hours into the day. So let's see, Rashi's up here. Actually, I didn't prepare this Mishnah. So, Tamid Shel Bein Arba'im. Yeah, we're talking.
Afternoon,
right? Right. Yeah, it makes sense. More, right, because the morning has to be brought by the fourth hour. Right. So we're talking about the carbon tamid of Bein Arba'im.
That was brought three times.
Which was
the Pesachim? Like there are three groups of
Pesachim, like, or Tamid?
Pesach, Karban Pesach.
Yes.
Three different, like, rotations. Because there's no way they could have gotten all
yes,
at one time.
Yeah, actually, it's discussed in this long summary over here. They discuss it, yeah, but...
So
but
this is the earliest time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, we didn't mention the Korban Pesach yet. Not in this mission. We're talking about the Korban Tumid.
Sorry, got it.
Yeah. Right, so yeah, so there's the Tumid, yeah, the Tumid Shel Shachar had to be brought by the fourth hour of the day. The Tumid Shel Bein Arbaya, when was that brought? So it says that it was brought in the eight and a half hours into the day. Oh, sorry, it was slaughtered 8.5 hours into the day, brought 9.5 hours into the day. On Erev Pesach, it was slaughtered in the 7.5 hours into the day and brought 8 hours into the day. Rashi says, Gemar Hakrava so Sheayu Shoen Shah Achas Besiaso. Gemara is going to explain why it took an hour from the slaughter until the completion of bringing it. And then Arve Pesachim, Rashi says, Makdimin Lemi Shum Deboil the Mavid Pesach Acharav. They would do it earlier because they need to bring a Korban Pesach afterwards. It makes sense. There's a lot to do at Erev Pesach. So in particular, we're talking about the Korban Pesach. You know, we think there's a lot to do now. Just wait till Mashiach comes.
I don't know how they did it all. Seder was a joke.
If you have a one-room house, it's easier.
Yeah.
But
clean everything the night before. Everything.
Yeah.
That's the night before.
Yeah.
Arben Pesach. Come home
to
the Seder.
Pesach Achar, the Brisim, the Pesach Achar, the Tamed, and the Gemara. Okay. Now, Bein Bechol, Bein Beshabbos. And so this was true whether it was the weekday or Shabbos, right? Shabbos, they brought the Korban Tamid twice a day, just like any other day of the week. That's what makes it Tamid. Even Yom Kippur, even Tisha B'Av, when there was a Beis Hamikdash. Chol Erev Pesach, Lios Be'erev Shabbos. If Erev Pesach was Erev Shabbos, so then Nishchat B'Sheish Mechatza, V'Kara B'Sheva Mechatza, so they would bring it on this at 6.5 hours in the day. Sorry, they would slaughter it 6.5 hours a day and bring it in the 7 hours in the day. Pesach after Pesach would be after that. Rashi says Chol Erev Pesach Be'erev Shabbos Bein and Lakdume Tvei Mishum Debayi Lishchat Pesach Acharav V'Latzlosa Mevod Yom, because we needed to daven or no roast it. Sorry. So yeah, that's roast it. So if it was Erev Shabbos, we needed to roast it while it was still day. And if it was Erev Shabbos, you needed to do it a little bit earlier, so they would have to do it even earlier than the rest of the year. Okay. And we got.